Again, I want to thank you on behalf of all who are visitors here today for, again, for your great hospitality for us and for also allowing us to worship with you this morning and in a way that follows through on our workshop. And one of the things that we discussed in our workshop is how we're all called to be prophets. You know, we tend to think of prophets as a very distinct group of people who maybe have a particular role, maybe folks like priests and deacons and who have a pulpit ministry, or we think of the prophets of old in the Old Testament. Guess what? You're a prophet. That deserves an amen. You are a prophet. I'm not talking to the person next to you. I'm talking to you. Every one of us, by our baptism, is baptized as a prophet. And what is a prophet? A prophet is someone who speaks for God, someone who makes God's voice heard in this old hell-bound, sin-soaked world. Now, come on, how many of you know that we need to hear a word from the Lord? So many today are lost and wandering off. And so we need God's prophets. And in fact, the words of Moses echo all through the readings, don't they? He simply said, "Would that all the people of the Lord were prophets. Would that the Lord might bestow his spirit on them all." You see, too many of us are waiting for someone else to do the work. Too many of us are waiting for, well, the priest needs to take care of that, or the deacon, or let the choir take care of that song. Listen, sing with us. Praise God and go out of this church today. You know, you're going to be commissioned at the end of Mass. Go forth, the Mass is ended. That doesn't mean go home and, you know, have a nice afternoon. It means go and tell somebody about what you heard and what you saw. You heard from the Lord and you received his body and blood. Now go into the world and tell somebody about Jesus. Now, I want to talk to you today on this theme. The prophet is in. The prophet is in. You've heard the doctor is in. Well, you see, today, for what ails us in this world, we're all obsessed about our physical health today, but no one's thinking about their spiritual health. And everyone says, "Oh, I got the pressure going, I got the sugar going." All right, that's good. It's good to know that the doctor is in. Amen? Amen. But I want you to know, we got some sin, we got some struggles, we got some despair, we got some struggles and pain and grief, and thank God the prophet is in. The prophet is in. And so today we look at this theme, the prophet is in. And I actually want to continue that kind of parallel through the sermon a bit on how a doctor and a prophet have some similar approaches to life. I want to look with you today with about four basic protocols that prophets need to observe. You know, doctors have protocol, amen? They have a kind of a practice, a way of going about some stuff. They follow certain protocols. Well, prophets have protocols. And there's four of them that are spoken of today in these readings. The first protocol for the prophet who must be in, and that's us. The first protocol is the point of the prophet. Now, God loved John. John comes to Jesus and said, "We saw somebody expelling demons." Somebody was expelling demons, but they're not of our company. So we tried to stop them. It's all right to mop your brow and say, "My, my, my." Say what? They tried to prevent somebody from casting out demons? Now look, what's wrong with this picture? Church, the whole point of being a prophet is to rescue souls from the grip of demons. Demons like ignorance and fear and darkness and sin and confusion. We've got to cast out some demons and we've got to bring folks to Jesus. Now, you might think I'm talking about some exotic situation, but listen, if you're a parent, you got a kid who's got some demons. Now, don't tell me they don't got some demons in them. And part of your job as a parent, by God's word and God's truth, is to cast out some of those demons. The demons of ignorance, of fear, of disobedience, of unruly behaviors, and bring them to Jesus who can heal them. Are you praying with me? Yeah. And so, you see, John says, we saw somebody trying to cast out demons and we tried to stop them. Kind of missing the point, amen? The point of a prophet is to rejoice that souls are being brought to Jesus and that demons are being expelled. Why do you care who does it, amen? It's not about who does it, it's about what's done. The demons are being cast out. And so, again, there's a complete disconnect. Now, John is speaking for the other apostles. He says, you know, we tried to stop them. And Jesus says, don't stop them. Rejoice. And you know, come on, as parents, you know, some folks can reach your kids in ways you can't. It's all right. You got to keep an eye on who's talking to your kids. Amen. Some folks are able to reach him. I know that growing up, I had some disconnect with my father. Difficulties. Youthful rebellion. My father had his struggles too. But there were other important men and teachers in my life who showed me what it meant to grow up and be a man. I thank God for them. Now again, so you see, the first thing we see that the point of a prophet is that demons are being driven out. Now, the other thing that I think that John probably has in mind, and so do the others, is they're also missing the point in this sense. They seem to be concerned that he's not of our company. You see, there's some folks who want all the glory, who want all the credit. Now, I know you've never met such a person. I just want you to know they're out there. They say, well, if I didn't do it, it can't be good. See, and I need the glory. Hello. If you're going to be a prophet, I got news for you. You are not the point. Jesus is the point. Amen? It's an old song that just says, more. More about Jesus. More of his saving fullness, see, and more of his love who died for me. See, if you're going to be a prophet, the point is Jesus. And the point is to let the Lord use you. Drive out demons. And so again, if a prophet's going to be in, if the prophet's going to be in, church, the prophet is in. And if the prophet's going to be in, he's got to follow protocols in the practice. He's got to talk about Jesus. And he's got to, if you will, be very much aware that it's about driving out demons. Now, imagine a doctor. And let's say you went to the doctor and the doctor says, it's all about me, it's not really about you. Well, doc, I thought I was the focus and I came to get healed. No, it's all about me. So unless I can heal you, no one can heal you. And you just got to stay here and I'm going to heal you and then I want all the glory. Now, would you keep going to that doctor? It's a bad protocol. A good doctor will say, well, let's see if I can be part of a healing team, amen? Let's see if I can be part of a group that can get you well, because you're the point and your health is the point and we want to drive out the demon of unhealthiness, and I don't care who gets the credit, all I care is that you get well. Amen? That's the point. The point is well-being. The point for us as prophets is about Jesus and about seeing that souls are delivered from the grip of Satan and brought to Jesus and healed. I don't care who gets the credit. Amen? And that leads us then to the second protocol. That not just the point of the prophet, which is Jesus and healing, but rather the second point now is the partnership of the prophet. There's an overlooked line in this gospel that a lot of people don't pay much attention to, but it's pretty important. It says here, he turns to these apostles and says, don't try to stop somebody. And pay attention, he says, amen, I say to you. When Jesus says, amen, I say to you, that means quiet. It means listen. I'm about to tell you something. Amen, I say to you, whoever brings you a cup of cold water because you belong to Christ will not lose their reward. Church, if you're going to be a prophet, you're going to need help. I want you to know that this prophet needs help. I'm trying to be a prophet. I'm trying to proclaim God's word. But I'm going to just tell you every now and again, I just need a cup of cold water. I don't mean it literally right now. That's all right. Don't run and get me one. But you see the vision here. We all need some help. Now, one of the things we've been celebrating in our workshop is that choir, clergy, lectors, Eucharistic ministers, ushers, servers, we're all in this together. We're all in this together. You see, I might stand up here and preach a word, and you might just be asleep. And then the choir takes up a word, and you get it. You get it. Amen? Thank you, choir. I'm not alone in this task this morning. Somehow we've got to let the Word of God take root in our life, but it's not all depending on me and my eloquence. Thank the Lord. Someone say amen. Thank the Lord. If it was all depending on my eloquence, we can all fall short. But it's not. It's depending on all of us here. And if you're a parent, you need help. Some of the parents ought to say amen. I need some help down here. We might say help. Church. Partners. Prophets need partners. Now, once again, think of a doctor. No one doctor possesses all the expertise. Doctors generally work in something called a practice. And they've got other doctors on call. Maybe the doctor who's a skilled radiologist, or another doctor who's a skilled cancer doctor, or a doctor who is skilled at being a surgeon, and on it goes. You see, God, save me from the doctor who doesn't think he needs to refer to other experts. Are you praying with me? We're all in this together. And again, doctors, you see, need other experts they can refer to. They need help. We're all in this partnership together. We clergy are partners with you who are parents and grandparents. All of us who minister liturgically, we're partners together. You know, again, I got to say to you, and I'm not going to say it's true here. I'm just going to say it's true in a lot of parishes. We're clergy and choir, and there's a lot of tension, and they're not really talking. You do your thing, I'll do my thing. There's too much of that in the church. I'm sure it's not so here, but I'm just going to say I know some parishes where clergy and liturgical ministers like choirs and others are, there's hostility. There's camps. Can't be that way. We got to be together in this, amen? And likewise, clergy, we can't do it. I don't sit at your dining room table. I'm not in your living room all day long. See, I need you. If the Word of God's going to go forth, I'm a pastor in my parish, and I need my parents to be at their post. I need them to be careful about what their kids are looking at. I need them to be careful to raise their kids up in the Lord. I can't preach the gospel all day long. It can't all depend on the priest. Priests need parents. Parents need priests. We all need catechists. We all need supportive people in our life. So again, the Lord says, careful now. See, they wanted all the glory. Oh, we tried to stop someone from helping someone. It's incredible, right? And the Lord says, pay attention. Not only is that dumb and missing the point, but you're also forgetting that you need partners. You cannot pull this off all by yourself. Now, somebody ought to say amen. I'm not known for short sermons, by the way. I'm sorry. But I want to just say that that's two of the 4 points, all right? Okay. He's still going at it up there, Martha? But first of all, again, the prophet is in, see? And if the prophet's going to be in, he needs to follow good practical protocols, just like doctors. The doctor is in, they've got protocols. They need to remember the point is not them and their glory. The point is the patient and the patient's health. Likewise for us who are prophets. The point is Jesus. The point is bringing people to healing in Jesus. And likewise, doctors need to work in partnership with other doctors to be part of a healing team. And so it is with prophets. Now the third point, and this is where it gets a little dicey. You know, there is not just the point of the prophet and partnership, but there is the practice of the prophet. Now again, doctors have what we like to call a practice. And so do we who are prophets. And you know, at the heart of the ministry of all the biblical prophets, including Jesus, was an important balance between the call and the cry, repent! Change your ways and come to the Lord wholeheartedly so he can heal you. You see, both cries need to be balanced and they need to be together. Because who goes to a doctor if they're not sick? Somewhere, until we get in touch with the fact that we're sick, We don't usually go to a doctor. Now, some of us may go for regular checkups, praise the Lord. But you see, cry has to go out from the prophet. Repent. There are things in your life that you need to get serious about and get sober about. You need to bring it to the Lord. See? And so every prophet has the difficult, the irksome task of talking frankly about sin. Now, you know, every now and again, there's folks today, even in the church, who say, tis, none of this vinegar stuff, but let's keep it all honey. More honey, no vinegar. I'm sorry. That's malpractice. Imagine going to a doctor, and the doctor, you know, you're loaded up with cancer or God knows what, and the doctor says, oh, you're fine. Now, what would you think of a doctor like that? Don't you want the doctor to know what cancer is and to be serious about it? And say, you know, I got to tell you the truth. You got cancer and it's serious. Huh. But praise the Lord, the doctor is in. We got some good doctors on staff and we caught this cancer early enough and we can go to work and you're going to be all right. But you got to hear the bad news so that the good news makes sense. Are you praying with me? Who of us would go to a doctor? Our arm is practically falling off with gangrene, and the doctor says, I affirm you. Well, thanks, doc. I'm glad you've affirmed me. But how about this gangrene? Get rid of it. It's going to kill me. You see, a lot of folks today sort of tisk, and they're uptight when the clergy or when the church or when parents or others talk about sin and talk about discipline, you see. But again, you got to understand something. A prophet has a practice. And it's that call, repent and believe the good news. And what were the opening words from Jesus' ministry? Repent and believe the good news. Do you see the balance? And do you see the order? Yes, there's a difficulty. It's hard to talk about sin. And you know, we got to be careful. We got to do it with charity. But we got to do it with clarity. Sin is sin. A lot of folks today want to just go on dreamily living their life. Listen, don't go on like that. Do not go on calling good or no big deal what God calls sin. And be serious about it in your life. Oh, well, that's old-fashioned biblical stuff. That was a different time. Listen, God's word is now. God didn't write this word for 2,000 years ago. He wrote it for you and me. Are you praying with me?
Yes.
Don't let anybody tell you, oh, that's all outdated stuff. God's word remains forever. It's the world and its thinking that comes and goes. And so it is that we got to be honest and we got to be frank about there are some things that go on in our lives that are just plain sinful. We can be carried off by anger and resentment and bitterness and discouragement and hatred and all kinds of unchastity, and we can be all shacking up and fornicating. We can be hateful and unforgiving and unkind and unmerciful and greedy. And these are things that happen in our life. And they're honest things we've got to look at. And then bring it to the Lord and say, oh, I got it bad and that ain't good. But thank God there's a doctor in the house. And thank God there's a prophet in the house. Now listen, you see what the Lord does in this gospel today? The Lord just lays it out. And I mean, these are strong words. He says, pay attention to sin in your life. And remember, he's talking to these apostles that are all worked up and they're all bent out of shape because somebody's getting the glory. And remember how they tried to drive out a demon and couldn't? And the Lord says, you weren't even praying. That's why they couldn't drive out that demon. And now they find out somebody else is driving out demons and it ain't them. Pride. Egotism, maybe some greed. And the Lord says, pay attention, my brothers. That's what he says to them. If your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Your foot, cut it off. And he goes on and says, listen, I'm just telling you right now, sin is very serious, and you got to look at it. Now, in effect, Jesus is using hyperbole. But listen to what he's saying. He's saying it is more serious to sin than to lose your right hand, than to lose your foot or your eye. Now, we don't think like that. Amen? Come on, just be honest. We don't think like that. We say, well, sin's not that big a deal. I'm basically a good person, and, you know, we just minimize it, don't we? You know, going back to the doctor analogy, it's like a guy who goes into the doctor, maybe he thinks, oh, I'm just a few pounds overweight, and the doctor says, I got news for you. You're in obesity category 3. Oh, but doctor, I just eat like a bird. Yeah, says the doctor, all day long, all night long. You see, we minimize. We go into denial. We don't want to look at stuff. And the Lord says, look at it. You're loaded up with sins. And I'm telling you right now, be more serious about it. The sin is a very serious reality in your life. It would be better for you to be killed than to lead somebody else into sin. It's better for you to lose your hand or your foot or your eye, to go blind, than to sin. Now, we don't think like that, see? And even when we're told to think like that, we still don't think like that. We make light of it. Now, my gosh, if my finances are threatened or my physical health is threatened, I'm going crazy, see? Lord, help! Help me, Lord! Help me! And the Lord said, oh, that you would ask me about your sin like that. See, do you see? Our priorities are messed up, aren't they? And you see, part of the work of a prophet, the difficult work, is to have a practice that is serious about sin, but also serious about the healing. Now listen, it's not just repent, but it's believe the good news. And I want you to know, as God's prophet, and I pray if you're a parent, you can say the same thing to your kid. If you're a choir, I know you sing of God's hope and His glory. I want you to know something. Whatever sinful drive is going on in your life right now, whether it's greed, whether it's unforgiveness, whether it's unchastity, whether it's a struggle with sobriety, whatever it might be, I want you to know that Jesus Christ has the power by His blood and by His cross to put every sinful drive to death in you. He can accomplish it all. He is the Lord and the Savior. Oh, I got it bad and that ain't good. But thank you, Lord, there's a doctor in the house. There is a prophet in the house. There is someone that I can go to. But you know, until we get clear about how much we need Him, we just discount the whole thing. We show up on the Sundays that it's convenient. We take sacraments occasionally. We go to confession maybe once a year. We're just sort of skating through, and we're not very serious about it. And the Lord says, He's serious about it. I want you to know it's serious. So again, you see, prophets have a practice. Just like a doctor. Now again, I hope you would agree with me. I want my doctor to be serious about disease. I don't want my doctor to make light of disease. Oh, well, disease, oh, it's just one little thing in life. It's like a hangnail, you know. No big deal. Don't worry if you're 100 pounds overweight. Don't worry if your blood pressure is off the scale. It's all right. It's just blood pressure. I avoid going to the doctor because the doctor's going to say, Charles, you need to lose weight. But you know, deep down in my heart, I'm glad the doctor's serious about my health. And I'm glad the doctor's serious about disease and doesn't make light of this. And is able to say to me, these things are serious. Ah, but there's a cure. Charles, it's called a diet. Or I've got some medicine for you, you see. And again, what a blessing. But you see the balance, right? All right. So prophets have a practice. Repent and believe the good news. And let me just say it again. If any of you in this church today are struggling with any demon, discouragement, depression, fear, anxiety, insobriety of any kind, any sinful drive, I want you to know something. It is serious, but Jesus is more serious. And He can go to work in your life, and I am a witness. He has delivered me from all kinds of struggles. Amen, church?
Amen.
God has delivered me. I am God's witness. You know, I was saying to the choir, there was a time in my life when I was all doubled over with depression and anxiety. I had it so bad, they put me in the hospital for a week. In the psych ward. And over the years, the Lord has brought me to deliverance. I'm not anxious anymore. I'm not discouraged. I'm full of joy. I'm full of hope. God, Jesus, is a physician, and He can change your life. And I am a witness. The Lord can do that. But I had to finally confront my demons. I had to finally confront them. And the Lord went to work. Thank you, Jesus. You've been good to me. Well, the last point will be a little shorter. I should never say that word. But church, the prophet is in. And remember, the point of the prophet is Jesus. And the point of the prophet is healing. And again, there's a partnership. We're all in this together. I'm not talking about just priests being a prophet. I'm talking about parents. I'm talking about choir members. I'm talking about altar servers and ushers. I'm talking about lectors. I'm talking about young and old. I'm saying we all got to be God's prophets. And we all got to be in this together. So there's a point, Jesus and healing, deliverance. There is a partnership. There is a practice. Repent. Good news. Repent. Good news. Both. You got to have them both. And finally, there is the prayer of the prophet. And that brings us back to Moses. Oh, church. Would that all of the people of the Lord were prophets. Oh, would that the Lord might bestow his spirit on them all. Well, I got news for you. That wish, that prayer of Moses, the greatest prophet of all, was fulfilled in Jesus and in your baptism. You are a prophet. You have the Spirit of the Lord upon you. Oh, I don't know about that, preacher. Yes, you do. And you get in touch with that Spirit. And again, here is the prayer of every true prophet. Not that he or she alone have all the glory, but rather that all God's people be gifted. That everyone have their rightful role in proclaiming God to this world. That all the gifts necessary for the church would be operative and fully functioning. Gifts for the clergy, gifts for the laity. No competition for glory. No competition for praise, but rather partnership and mutual appreciation. Oh, church, I don't have all the gifts, and you don't have all the gifts, but together we've got all the gifts. And church, the great prayer of a prophet. If you're a parent, what do you most want for your children? That they know the Lord and that they become prophets. I pray, I hope that's your wish. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Your greatest desire for your children, that they come to know the Lord and be able to announce him to this sin-soaked, hellbound world that is so desperately in need of a word from the Lord. Oh, there's a work that needs to be done, and all of us have to do it together. The world's got it bad, and that ain't good. But thank the Lord, the prophet is in. I said the prophet is in.
Amen.
Is the prophet in?
Yes.
The prophet. Turn to someone next to you and just say, the prophet is in.
The prophet is in.
Amen. Amen.